Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams sale and get 30% off Duration, Woodscapes, and SuperDeck products May 1st through the 11th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Week number 3 of the National Football League regular season is now underway. A Thursday evening out in Cleveland, Ohio, where the wind was certainly a factor, but we saw more offense than expected in an AFC North rivalry between the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. We recap that game that opened up week 3 on a Thursday night. We set the stage for the entirety of the NFL Sunday slate, week number 3, and we do it all here on Football Full Circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network. I am Ben Stevens. Alongside the mastermind of the pigskin, he is Joe Lisi. Lisi guy, we're setting the stage for a new football weekend, a great football weekend in store. It is the first official day of fall. Fall is here. The calendar has flipped to a new season. The air has a chill in it. It is brisk when you wake up in the morning, Joe. It feels like football, and football is in full effect.
Oh, it's crisp and it feels great. This is what it's all about. Football weather on the Northeast. I mean, it doesn't get better than this, you know? And I always talk the pumpkin spice lattes and coffee. You sip it. You go outside your backyard. You look at the foliage starting to change. And you got NFL action this coming weekend. Doesn't get better than this. We saw the Thursday night battle in Cleveland. What a matchup, right? Pittsburgh fighting right down to the very end. And for some, in terms of the last play of the game, it cost people a lot of money in terms of that touchdown. And we'll see what transpires, because there are some games on tap like Buffalo and Miami that will really dictate which is potentially the best team in each respective conference.
Maybe not football weather necessarily in the fall in Miami in South Beach on Sunday. Supposed to be in the highest humidity up there. Supposed to be a real feel of greater than 100 degrees for a team from Western New York now making the trip to Miami. Joe, let's start with that Thursday night football game, the AFC North rivalry between the Steelers and the Browns. Cleveland closed as a 3.5-point favorite. The over-under came down to 37.5. And Joe, we saw offense early and often in that opening half. They almost got to the total in the first half alone. The first half number, Joe, was 19 in a hook. It was Pittsburgh with a 14-13 lead at the break, but it was Cleveland in the second half, Joe, that was dominant. 16-3 is that second half score in favor of the Browns. They win 29-17, adding on that additional touchdown on the last play of the game. But either way, the Browns were going to cover as a 3.5-point favorite.
Yeah, and we talk about Pittsburgh, their weakness last year was stopping the run. In the second half, they wore down at the point of attack due to the physicality and the blue-collar work ethic of the offensive line of Cleveland. Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb got their carries in the second half, and obviously they capitalized on those type of situations. And that big picture for Pittsburgh right now, they need to get off the map, because if this is going to be the defense the rest of the way, they're not going to get over their 7.5 win total no matter who starts at quarterback, whether it be Trubisky or Kenny Pickett. On the flip side for Cleveland, this is exactly what you want, right? If you're a Cleveland Brown backer, because the run game took over, Jacoby Brissett played within the scheme and the system, and as long as they could do that and be above 500 come week number 11, Deshaun Watson maybe can put this team over the top for not just either a wild card appearance, but potentially maybe a divisional or AFC championship type of game.
Maybe the ceiling is higher with Deshaun Watson, given his talent at the quarterback position, not speaking about his character off the football field, which is certainly has been called into question. But right now, Jacoby Brissett, Joe, is playing incredibly efficiently in this offense under Kevin Stefanski. Last night, Brissett, 21-31, 220 yards through the air, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. He is taking care of the football, and he's playing a pretty good game under center right now for this Cleveland Browns offense. And he's doing exactly what we expect Cleveland to do. They are running the football, Joe, on average 38 times per game. 39 rush attempts as a team, week number one in Carolina. 37 last week against the New York Jets. And then 38 exactly on that average to open up week three against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Nick Chubb, 23 of the 38, 113 yards, a touchdown. The second time in three games, Joe, already, Nick Chubb has gone over the century mark. Kareem Hunt, 12 carries of his own, 47 yards. Both of those running backs over the rushing yards prop. Nick Chubb well over 84 in a hook, and Kareem Hunt over 43 and a half as well. So although we saw more offense, Joe, and more scoring than maybe we initially anticipated last night in Cleveland, we did expect the ground game to be that focal point, and it's been working really well for Cleveland so far.
Yeah, it has, right? And that's exactly what they built their success on under Kevin Stefanski, no matter who the quarterback was. Jacoby right. Brissett, Baker Mayfield, and obviously when Deshaun Watson does take over in week number 11, potentially against the Ravens. But if they're going to have success and they're going to challenge the teams like Baltimore, Cincinnati, and obviously Pittsburgh, the rushing attack needs to be there. Why? Because they're staying in manageable third down situations. That takes the pressure off the offensive line in terms of critical blitz type of situations, and more importantly, takes the pressure off the quarterback. And we saw Amari Cooper step up, right?
Yeah.
Amari Cooper is a great addition to that offense. Doesn't have to do a whole lot, but when he's called on, he answers the bell.
Over 100 yards last night for Amari Cooper and a receiving touchdown. In fact, the receivers got more involved than I think we expected, Joe, even on both sides. Deontay Johnson, 84 yards. George Pickens already has the catch of the year. Trubisky, over 200 yards for the first time in the three games for the Steelers this season. But fans still clamoring for Kenny Pickett because of how stagnant that Steelers offense looks at the moment. Much more to come here on Football Full Circle. Stay with us on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Here we are back on Football Full Circle as we set the stage for a huge Saturday slate, week number 4 of the college football season. Lisi, I think outside of week number 1, that first full Saturday slate that officially kicked off the college football campaign in 2022, this is the Saturday I am most excited by at this point of the regular season. So many good games, and now fully in conference play across the country for most leagues and for most teams at the FBS level. Games have that much more significance. Games have that many more ramifications and implications for a conference championship race. And of course, the hunt for a college football playoff appearance and the chance to play for a national championship. Joe, we have 4 games this weekend featuring unbeaten team versus unbeaten team and 3 ranked versus ranked matchups. The only game that fits both of those criterias, that would be Clemson and Wake Forest. Number 5, Clemson on the road in Winston-Salem against number 21, Wake Forest. Joe, the line has remained pretty consistent all week. It's been 7.5 in favor of the Tigers and over-under at 55 in a hook. What draws your attention most about this matchup between the Tigers and the Deacs?
I'll tell you what, Ben, if I would have told you 5 years ago, back in 2018, the game of the week potentially was Clemson and Winston-Salem at Wake Forest, would you have believed it? I mean, no, I don't think anybody would have fast-forwarded and said, yeah, Dave Clawson and the crew would be potentially fighting for an Atlantic crown against Dabo Swinney and the crew. We know the dominance of Clemson, 13 straight in the series, the last 4 by an average margin of victory of 38.2 points per game, but Wake Forest has an opportunity opportunity with their quarterback, Sam Hartman, to step up and make a statement. It's not going to be easy. They got boat raced in Death Valley last year by 21 points, 48-27. Mm-hmm. We'll see how it plays out. I still go to the physicality of Clemson's offense and defensive lines. That's the biggest thing in terms of where this game is going to be won or lost. Even though I like Wake Forest, I love the physicality of Clemson. Let's not forget they pounded the rock for 333 last year on that front seven. I think it continues this Saturday in Winston-Salem. It might be close for a half, but Will Shipley and the crew pull away in the third and fourth quarters.
Joe, here's where I'm looking at this game. It's Clemson's defense against Wake Forest's offense. And what I mean by that is specifically focusing on the Demon Deacons team total for this Saturday matchup against Clemson at home. It's 23.5. I think if Wake is going to keep this game competitive, they have to go over that number. Their defense is not good enough, despite the offensive struggles of Clemson, to slow down and make this game a 17-14 ball game. I think they need to score to keep up with Clemson. That is the track record with having Sam Hartman as your quarterback under Dave Clawson. And Clemson has been pretty good defensively so far this year, Joe, averaging 14 points per game given up to their opponent, but they haven't been necessarily as stellar as we maybe expected early on from that scoring defensive perspective. So if Wake can get us to 24, 27 like they did last year, again, we saw Clemson cover that number and put up a ton of points, but offensively is where Clemson struggles. I think for Wake to stay in this game, they need to go over 23.5. That's where I look for that matchup between the Tigers and the Demon Deacons. And again, one final point here. Clemson booked as a minus 165 favorite to win the ACC. An odds-on favorite to win the division, to win the conference for 7 of the last 8 years. When Clemson had won 6 of those previous titles in the ACC, the streak that was snapped last year by Pittsburgh and Wake Forest out of the Atlantic Division, they had made the college football playoff. That is how important being a Power 5 conference champion is to your hopes of playing for a national championship. That is what is at stake between Clemson and Wake Forest tomorrow. Joe, one of the games of the day, in my opinion, an unbeaten versus unbeaten matchup, Kansas and Duke. Yes, it bears repeating, Kansas and Duke. And Joe, it's in Lawrence, in front of a sellout crowd at home for KU. I think that is sensational. I think that shows the beauty of college football. A rare undefeated team, Kansas, a perfect 3-0, against a rare undefeated team in Duke, a perfect 3-0. Two basketball powerhouses, now football schools, in Kansas, a 7.5-point favorite. Joe, that total is 65.5. We know KU has scored this year. You think we see an over tomorrow in Lawrence?
I do. And the ability to convert on third downs. They're second in FBS right behind Minnesota in terms of 68% in terms of third down conversions with Jalen Daniels and that offensive attack. They're balanced. And we know that over the past few years, even though they're playing well now in terms of the front seven of Duke, they have a tendency to wear down in run support. That's going to be the matchup for the Blue Devils, whether they keep it inside this number or not. I don't think they can. I like Lance Leipold. I like the physicality of Kansas's offensive line. I think they're able to challenge Duke's secondary over the top after they have success with the rushing attack. And the way they were able to wear down a very physical defense in terms of Houston last week, I think it continues in Lawrence. We saw them go toe-to-toe with Caleb Williams in Oklahoma last year. That game was basically the changing of the guard from where we see the success of Kansas today. And I think they continue on Saturday in Lawrence. I think they definitely cover this number by double digits.
Lance Leipold is one of the best program builders in all the sport of college football. I look at Jalen Daniels, Joe, the quarterback for KU. His rushing yards prop is only 67.5. It might seem like a large number for college and a quarterback at that, but Jalen Daniels last week against Houston, 123 yards on the ground, 12 carries. 12 carries the week before against West Virginia, 85 yards. Went under week one, Joe, against Tennessee Tech in an absolute rout for KU to start the year. But he only had 3 carries. 3 carries, in fact, for 29 yards, a yard per carry average of 9.7. It was his second best of the season, nearly a double digits per carry. So if he's going to get 8 or 9 carries against Duke, I think Jalen Daniels goes over 67.5 rushing yards. And Duke last year, a bottom 15 rushing defense, allowing more than 206 yards per game. All right, Joe, one of the games that we've seen the most line movement for is USC in Oregon State. Another unbeaten versus unbeaten battle. The Trojans 3-0. The Beavers 3-0. It's in Corvallis, Joe, late on a Saturday night. The line was 7.5 earlier this week. It's now just 5.5. Do you agree with where the market is going?
I do, and I'm not backing down. I'm going with the line movement in terms of the home team in Oregon State. I think they're physical. They can run the football between the tackles. I still think that's the weakness of USC. They lost as an 11.5-point favorite last year. Chance Nolan, an experienced quarterback. And we talk about Corvallis. It's almost similar to Ames in terms of Iowa State. That place is a hornet's nest. Every time USC goes out there, they have the tendency to play down to the level of competition, no matter how good they are. It's not going to be easy catching. As long as I said it yesterday, as long as it stays over the key number of 4, if it starts to get under 4, I get a little nervous. But at 5.5, I think they're a live dog. I think they win the ball game outright in this ball game. I'm not sold on the defensive front 7 of USC.
And USC right now, Joe, giving up over 170 yards per game on the ground. I know we focus on Chance Nolan, but if there's a chance for Oregon State, maybe it comes in that ground attack against the Trojans on Saturday night. Speaking of a ground attack, Joe, good luck to Maryland trying to stop Michigan on Saturday inside the Big House. The Wolverines, a 17-point favorite in the Big Ten opener for both of these teams. Joe, what was the stat? What's the average margin of victory for the Terps or for the Wolverines against the Terps in Big Ten play?
36.3 points per game the last six games. That's what they have lost to Michigan. 59-14 last year. It wasn't even close. I guess the question is this. What do we think Blake Corum could get on the ground against that front seven? Because that will ultimately dictate whether Michigan covers this number. I will say it is a little fishy knowing about the dominance and the fact that Michigan has won six straight in the series. Why is it only 17?
Yeah, it feels like this number could be 21, 21 and a half. It could be greater than 3 touchdowns. This is the shortest spread in Michigan's favor all year long. Their previous shortest number was 31 in the season opener against Colorado State. A cupcake non-conference schedule is about to see a conference slate for the Wolverines and Michigan, but Maryland has greatly struggled in Big Ten play. All right, we come back on Football Full Circle, live on the Sports Grid Radio Network up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are back on Football Full Circle, getting you ready for the NFL Sunday slate week number 3 of this regular season, Joe. A couple of really good games on the slate. A couple of divisional matchups that are going to be very intriguing. Joe, let's start with your team. The Miami Dolphins at home on Sunday in South Beach. Supposed to be very hot and humid against the hottest team in the National Football League, the Buffalo Bills. The Bills a 5.5-point favorite on the road, Joe, against the Finns. What's your approach to this matchup between the Bills and the Dolphins on Sunday?
Yeah, I would love to buy into Miami, and that's not taken away from the success of that passing game led by Tua, but I don't think they match up in the interior with the Buffalo Bills. No matter how many times they play, I still think the physicality, the offense and defensive lines for Buffalo is head and shoulders above where Miami is now. Now, even in that win for Miami, they allowed chunk plays to Lamar Jackson in the run game, and I don't think it stops with Josh Allen and the Buffalo offense, whether it be Allen, Zach Moss, Singletary, James Cook that got involved. I think Buffalo will be able to cover this number fairly easy. Josh Allen just seems to own the Miami Dolphins, and until Miami steps up, I can't back them from the gambling perspective in this ballgame.
5.5 seems like a large spread for a team to lay on the road in a divisional matchup between two unbeaten teams at this point, Joe. Two of the three remaining unbeaten teams in the AFC, Kansas City being the other of those three. But when you think about what Buffalo has done to begin this season, when you think about their average margin of victory, when you think about how much they are outscoring opponents by, 72-17 to be exact, it really is not all that much. This is why I think this game is significant, Joe. Not necessarily for the AFC East divisional race. Buffalo is the best team in the NFL right now, at least certainly the most complete team in the NFL. I think Buffalo is on pace to win 13, 14 games. Like, they are going to be up there in terms of the best overall records. I believe, though, Miami, Joe, is a playoff team, and so do the odds right now. The Dolphins are now minus 188. To make the AFC postseason. So this is why I find this game in South Beach on Sunday all that much more significant, Joe, because I think it will teach us something about the Dolphins. I just wonder what it is we will learn.
I mean, for Miami, it's got to be on the defensive side of the ball. That's where I really need to see the Dolphins step up and make a statement. Can they go toe-to-toe in terms of the offensive line for Buffalo? Because, you know, in prior matchups, Miami maybe was good for a quarter or two quarters, and then all of a sudden they would wear down in the second half of ball games, or they just wouldn't show up at all from a defensive perspective. Forget the secondary. I want to see the linebackers get pressure on Josh Allen. I want to see those edge rushers do that. And obviously the interior. If we can do that long term, then Miami has a shot to be a contender. Because again, Miami's built right now, Ben, for me, they're like built for a 7-on-7 schematic. If we get into a shootout, yeah, we have a great opportunity. It's those blue collar playoff type of games where teams that have to run the football and shut down the run will win ball games. And that's where I still have question marks regarding the Miami defense.
And we'll find out, because they will get all they can handle against those Buffalo Bills on Sunday, Joe. The passing yards props are out. Josh Allen, 274 and a hook is his number. Tua Tagovailoa, 253 and a half. That 274 and a half for Josh Allen is a number he has gone well over in each of the first two games for the Buffalo Bills. 297 in the first, greater than 310 in that second. That Monday night beatdown of the Tennessee Titans. All right, let's keep rolling through this Sunday slate for the NFL week number 3. Joe, as we focus on the AFC slightly here, we discussed this earlier in the week. Winless teams that are looking for their first win that were true playoff teams a season ago, we would expect at least two of those teams to have a good opportunity for a win. The Raiders and the Titans, because they play each other, Joe. The Titans were the number one overall seed in the AFC last year. The Raiders were a playoff team. Both have zero wins so far through 2 weeks. The Raiders, though, Joe, a 1.5-point favorite in Nashville. How do you break down this matchup?
Yeah, I go to the Raiders here. I mean, where is Tannehill from an offensive perspective? Is he rattled? Do they turn to Malik Willis? And the way that Buffalo actually shut down Derrick Henry in that ballgame, I think could be a recipe for Max Crosby and the defensive front for Las Vegas. Make Derrick Henry cut to the outside. Don't let him get momentum heading into the line of scrimmage. And I still think the better quarterback is Derek Carr in this ballgame. And even though they haven't stepped up and Josh McDaniel really hasn't coached well in the first two games of the regular season, I still think Las Vegas has more weapons and a better defense right now than what we've seen. So I would lay the 1.5 on the road in Nashville.
I would look at the Vegas Raiders too, Joe. I think they've been the more impressive side out of these two here so far in this NFL season in the early going. But it's incredibly short, an incredibly, incredibly short spread. I think Derrick Henry can get back on track against a Raiders front that hasn't been all that great so far this season. I think the Raiders have a better chance of getting into the win column, but it's a short game for a reason, and the Titans are an interesting team to try to handicap at many different points. The Bengals, Joe, laying 6 on the road against the Jets, the reigning AFC title winners, and also a team that is winless so far here in the regular season. But the spread has worked in Cincy's favor, Joe, even on the road. 4.5 initially, now 6 in favor of the Bengals. Can they finally, at the very least, Joe, get a win?
Absolutely. Could be my best bet of the weekend. I love Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. I know they're 0-2. I know they start slow. And I don't care that the Jets got the victory in Cleveland last week. Remember, as an 11.5-point underdog, Mike White threw for 407 yards on this defense last year and pulled out the victory over Joey Silk and the crew. I think Joe Burrow comes to play in this matchup. I think he starts fast. Whatever his total is, Ben, 280, I'm buying it. 290, give it to me. 320, I'm in. I don't care what the number is. I'm in on Joe Burrow. I think they score and score often. They cover this number easy. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But this is potentially one of my better bets for the weekend.
You have to think, Joe, at the bare minimum, Cincinnati starts fast. They're a 3.5-point favorite in the opening half, which has not been the Bengals' strong suit so far this year. They're only averaging 4.5 points per game in the first half in their first two games. That is the fifth worst scoring offense in the first half so far through 2 weeks. Week one, Joe, on the road against, or at home against the Steelers, rather, they were down 17-6 at the break. Last week on the road in Dallas, down 17-3 at that halftime break against the Cowboys. They need to start fast. They need to do two things in my mind, Joe, to at least have some success and get a win, let alone cover a nearly touchdown spread. Keep Joe Burrow upright. Don't allow him to be sacked 13 times combined in the first two games for the Bengals this year. And start fast. Don't trail by double digits at the halftime break against the New York Jets. And this could be a recipe for success, finally, for Cincinnati. Here's a very intriguing game to me, Joe. The Chargers and the Jags, a 7-point favorite is LA at home in Los Angeles on Sunday afternoon. However, we expect Justin Herbert to play, but how hurt will Herbert be for this matchup against the Jags? It's a 7-point spread, Joe. No passing yards props out, though, at the moment, as I think they await the final status on Herbert. We'll probably get some more clarification before the weekend truly begins. How would you approach that game? Is it a stay-away spot for you, or are you still confident in the Bolts?
I don't have confidence in the Justin Herbert situation. I think he could be potentially one play and out for 3 weeks in terms of that strained rib. I would buy into Jacksonville. I can't believe I'm saying that, but they could be 2-0 if you think about it. I mean, are we serious right now? The way they dominated the Indianapolis Colts, and I know they've had recent success, but they didn't give up a point. They didn't give up a point to basically Matt Ryan in that offense. I think that travels well. I mean, 7 points, a full touchdown. Trevor Lawrence came into his own. I like the rushing attack of Jacksonville right now, and that front seven's playing well. Give me the Jags with a touchdown on the road.
The Jags almost covered week number one as an underdog against the Washington Commanders. The Jags won outright at home last week as a 3-point underdog against those Indianapolis Colts that hate making trips to Jacksonville, Florida. They have lost 8 straight in Jacksonville. Speaking of the Colts, Joe, also a winless team. 0-1-1 at home this week, where, at least according to the odds, Joe, not likely they get their first win. They're a 5.5-point home underdog against the other remaining unbeaten in the AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs. To me, it feels like a spot where the Colts are ripe to at least cover as an underdog, Joe, but I'm not entirely sure what to make of this game. How do you feel about it?
I can't go with the Colts. Dead man walking could be Frank Reich. I can't back a team like that. And where's Jonathan Taylor been? Jonathan Taylor was the front runner as potentially offensive player of the year or NFL MVP. He's been basically non-existent. If they can't run the football, or more importantly, Kansas City starts fast again and puts pressure on Indy to play from behind, Jonathan Taylor's not involved in this offense. And I understand the line seems a little bit fishy, but what's the confidence level that you have and Matt Ryan? And I don't have any, and I don't have more confidence in Frank Reich, who can't coach his way out of a paper bag in the first couple of weeks of the regular season.
Joe, as I look at it, Indianapolis now, their last four games that I have truly paid attention to, they've been booked as a favorite, an 8.5-point favorite week 17 last year, their second to last game against the Raiders. All they needed to do was win outright and get in the playoffs. They lost that football game. A 15.5-point road favorite in Jacksonville. We told you that they do not do well in Duval County. They lost that game outright. A 7.5-point favorite week number one, the largest spread of any team in the National Football League in their favor against the Houston Texans. They didn't lose necessarily, but they didn't win outright either. That was a tie. And then last week, a favorite again on the road in Jacksonville. At least they're an underdog at home. I guess that's the only big news for Indianapolis. We'll continue going around the NFL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We continue rolling on Football Full Circle, previewing the Week 3 slate of the National Football League season. All right, Joe, a ton of focus on the AFC. Let's flip it over to the other side. An NFC matchup that, of course, will be at the top of the marquee come Sunday afternoon. The Green Bay Packers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Number 12 for Tampa, Tom Brady, against number 12 for Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers. Only a 1.5-point spread, Joe, and still what stands out to me the most, the 41.5-point total, which seems like a low over-under when it's Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady dueling off against one another.
Yeah, and last time they played in Tampa was, what, 38-10? Obviously, they won in the championship game a couple of years ago. But at the end of the day, the rushing attack that obviously has the best success will win this ball game. We know about the lack of offensive playmakers for Tampa now with Mike Evans suspended and obviously on the flip side with the young, inexperienced wide receivers for Green Bay. So which team are you buying in more to? Are you buying into Lanny Fournette and the physical offensive line of Tampa? Or are you buying into the 1-2 punch of Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon? I tend to go with Tom Brady at home. I think Tampa is the more complete defense. I like their secondary better. And even though Green Bay was able to abuse Chicago, this is still a different animal in terms of Tampa Bay. Give me Tampa laying the short number Sunday afternoon.
It will be so interesting, Joe, to see what this game looks like, right? Because this is not what we would expect for Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. And there's no passing yards props out at the moment to really dissect it with. But we've said this a few times this week, Joe, on the show. Tampa threw the ball the most in the National Football League last year. 66.5% of the time, a play was in the air for Tampa. That was by far the largest margin in the National Football League. But now they're running the football at nearly 50% of their plays through the first 2 weeks. I know it's a much smaller sample size than the entirety of last season, but this was a team that ran the ball just 33.5% of the time last year. The defense is very good for Tampa Bay. And on the other side for Green Bay, they ran it 38 times, the Packers did, against the Chicago Bears on Sunday Night Football. But if the offense picks up a little bit, if the quarterbacks realize who they are playing against, and of course they certainly do, I think we could see some offense in this matchup. And the total is so low, it would certainly lead us to an over of 41 and a hook. All right, Joe, elsewhere in the NFC, a rivalry matchup within a division out in the NFC West first for the first time this year. The Rams on the road, a 3.5-point favorite against the Cardinals. That total is 48 and a hook. Joe, this is a very interesting game in my opinion because we have two teams I don't know exactly how to feel about at the moment. The Rams lost week one. Got dominated by the Buffalo Bills, but everybody's getting dominated by Buffalo here so far in 2022. And then they bounced back at home last week, booked as a 10.5-point favorite against the Falcons. They go up 28-3. Yes, a significant, important score in Atlanta sports history. In the third quarter, the Falcons make it a game, have an opportunity to tie or at least take the lead, Joe, late in the fourth quarter, and the Rams hold on, but they do not cover as a 10.5-point favorite. Arizona looks lifeless through the first 1.5 games of their season, and then in the second half down by 20 against the Raiders last week in Vegas, Joe, Arizona storms back to complete the dramatic and drama-filled comeback against the Raiders. So how do you feel about both of these teams heading into this matchup?
I got to go with the last and hottest team, and to me, that's Arizona. I have to go with Kyler Murray, hoping that that consistency and momentum continues at home in this ballgame. That's not to take away from the effort from the L.A. Rams, but if you're buying into Arizona and lightning in a bottle, per se, they came alive in the second half and, more importantly, the fourth quarter against Las Vegas. So I'm going to buy into that. I'm going to buy into the improvisation of Kyler Murray and what he was able to do in the fourth quarter in the road in Las Vegas, and I'll go with the more explosive offense, which is I still believe Arizona. I'm just not sold on L.A. right now. You know, the way they allow that lead to slip, I have more concerns about their defense. And playing at home, you want to give me a field goal and a half, I'll take it with Kyler Murray and Kingsbury in this ballgame.
It will be something, Joe, that I think the Cardinals need to do. I think they need to cover this game to kind of inspire some of that confidence. I'm just not sure Arizona's all that good. I think the Rams have a ton of talent, and the Rams do this thing where they let teams stick around. It'll be interesting to see how the Cardinals and Rams play this football game. It's something I'm going to stay away from in terms of a betting angle because I don't really know if there is that decipherable edge at the moment. But a big game within the NFC West, Joe, where the opening weekend of the year, it was only the Seahawks that won a football game, despite the fact the other three teams, the Rams, the Cardinals, and the Niners, were all playoff teams a season ago. Then it was the complete role reversal weekend number two. The Seahawks lose to the Niners. The Rams and the Cardinals also get in the win column as well. Speaking of San Francisco, Joe, they have been a huge topic of conversation this week in the National Football League, losing Trey Lance. But it doesn't feel like the biggest loss, at least here in the immediate, because Jimmy Garoppolo still has this team playing consistently. And we've seen that reflected in the odds. Their prices across the board haven't really changed. They're still heavily favored at minus 172 to get into the postseason. And their odds, Joe, following week one to win the NFC West, plus 185, where they are currently plus 165. I don't think you could say that for any of the other 31 NFL organizations. Lose your starting quarterback and have your odds to win the division get that much better. Only 20 cents, but still get better. So San Francisco, Joe, Sunday night football in the Mile High City against Russell Wilson and the Broncos. The Niners, a 1.5-point road favorite with an over-under of 44.5. What's your approach here?
Yeah, better running game in San Francisco, better front seven, and a quarterback who's confident and playing within the scheme, and his teammates love him. Give me San Francisco. We talk about it. You know, Russell Wilson is not the same quarterback in terms of what he was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, break and contain. Until he gets back to that Russell Wilson, I'm not buying into the offense for Denver. Nathaniel Hackett looks like a fish out of water, even though the game is in Mile High. I'm more confident in San Francisco now with obviously Jimmy Garoppolo at the helm than I was with Trey Lance. And I think they're a playoff contender now. My whole outlook for San Francisco changes completely because of who's the starting quarterback. So I'm buying into San Fran right now. A short number, less than a field goal. Give me the 49ers on the road.
Joe, it's such a fascinating point you bring up, and the market agrees with you. I think many others agree with you. Here's the thing about Jimmy Garoppolo. Based on the potential of Trey Lance and what he can do alongside the mastermind that is Kyle Shanahan and orchestrating offensive plays, there was a hope that this ceiling could be so high for this Niners team, given how talented they are across the rest of the roster. And it was because of that talented roster that San Francisco was a Super Bowl team 3 years ago, an NFC Championship team just last year. So the ceiling might be higher theoretically with Trey Lance. We hadn't seen that yet because he only played one game in a monsoon against the Bears and, of course, injured early on in the second week against the Seahawks. But the ceiling, although high with Trey Lance, hypothetically, the floor isn't any lower with Jimmy Garoppolo. And that's the point, I think, that is made here with the idea of their odds not changing and, in certain cases, getting slightly better to win the division based on their result week number two against the Seahawks. All right, from NFC West, Joe, to NFC North. The Minnesota Vikings, a 5.5-point favorite at home against the Detroit Lions on Sunday. We mentioned the total for Miami and Buffalo, 52.5. It is tied for the highest over-under of the weekend at 52.5 with the Vikings and the Lions. 5.5, though, Joe, feels like a little bit of a lofty spread, if I'm being honest. I think the Lions, who have been an underdog in all 19 games under Dan Campbell so far and are 13-6 against the spread, they might be the side that can go in there and at least cover that number against Minnesota.
That's a great point, Ben, because I'll tell you this. There were 2 5.5-point spreads the first couple weeks of the season. Tennessee 5.5 against New York. Big first half, they lose it in the second half. Second week at Las Vegas, 5.5 against Arizona, right? Big first half, they lose it in the second half. Same exact MO. Now we have a team in Kirk Cousins in Minnesota that looked absolutely atrocious. I mean, you could have gotten a high school quarterback that could have put a better effort against the Philadelphia defense than what Kirk Cousins did the other night. He could have thrown 6 interceptions. Now they're laying 5.5 against the Detroit defense. They lost this game last year, even though they were on the road. They laid 7 to Detroit. They lost 29-27. I'm going to give Kirk Cousins and the crew one more opportunity. As much as I'm going against the trend, I'm going to lay it with Minnesota because maybe I'm stubborn. I'm putting the square peg into the round hole. But give me Minnesota in this ballgame.
Well, Lisey, at least it's at 1 p.m. That's a good news for you and Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings, because as long as it's not under the lights in primetime, Kirk is going to have some success. And let's look at that over-under, 52.5, Joe, and let's focus on two of the best wide receivers in the sport right now. Justin Jefferson, his receiving yards prop is 98.5. And, Joe, where I still think there's a ton of value, Amon-Ra St. Brown for the Detroit Lions, setting an NFL record last weekend. Six straight games with eight or more receptions and a touchdown catch in all six of those consecutive games. That is a new NFL record. He also tied an NFL record of eight straight games with eight or more grabs. And that was something that was up there in the history books of the National Football League. And his receiving yards prop, Joe, is only 69.5. He technically went under in week number one, only 64 yards, but over a buck 10 in week number two, last week in the win for the Lions against the Commanders. And then to end out the regular season last year, six straight games all over this number of 69.5. And he is targeted a ton by his quarterback in Jared Goff. So when the total receptions number comes out for this young man and Amon-Ra St. Brown as well, Joe, that's an area I would look. I think there's a ton of props that are really, really attractive in this game between the Vikings and the Lions. All right, the Vikings on Monday night in Philadelphia, Joe, did not look that great. Kirk Cousins now, as we said, 2-10 straight up in Monday Night Football primetime games. The Eagles looked really, really good, Joe. They're now minus 210 to win the NFC East. They are tied for the second best odds in the NFC Championship market at 5-1, and they are a 6.5-point road favorite in a divisional showdown against the Washington Commanders. Joe, are you buying into the birds at this point?
I'm buying in that they're going to win this game. Now, whether they cover this or not remains to be seen, because typically Washington plays them fairly tough. I'm not buying into Washington. I think the team could be on the road to disaster. They lose this game outright to Philadelphia, the wheels could fall off. This team could be 2-7 over the next eight games of the regular season. So keep an eye out for that. I would take the points here. I think Philly wins maybe a 3 or 4 point game, but I'd be inclined to take Washington coming off the loss right now where they got absolutely abused as a home dog. I don't think they win, but 6.5 is an appealing number in terms of a divisional game. I think Philly wins, though, in this matchup, and I still think Washington could be one of the worst teams in the NFL.
And that, kind of it's tracking that way, right? When you look around the NFC East, the Cowboys are 1-1, but they're playing with Cooper Rush, who, frankly, they will face off against the Giants as an underdog. Cooper Rush, two starts in the last 2 years, both booked as a dog, and the boys have won outright. But you look around the NFC East, the Eagles unbeaten, the Giants for the time being unbeaten, the Commanders, Joe, winning week number one against the Jaguars, the Carson Wentz experience on full display, but a 6.5-point home underdog right now. It's some of the market loving the Eagles. And Joe, it's such an interesting point, right? It's only 2 weeks into this NFL season, and the NFL is always so hard to beat from that betting perspective, certainly on sides. And we have that two-week sample size only. It's small, but it feels like a lot of these lines are super, super sharp. A couple of closing thoughts on the weekend to come in the National Football League up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
A couple more minutes left here on Football Full Circle. All right, Lisi, let's finish this off. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. A game we haven't touched on yet, Joe, that is actually my best bet of the weekend. The Baltimore Ravens, the New England Patriots. I look at the Ravens team total. It's now at 23.5. I got it last night at 22 in a hook. Either way, as long as it's below 24, I think it's pretty good. Now, listen, the Patriots' best part of their team is defensively. They're only giving up about 17 points per game so far this year. They were the third best scoring defense in the league last year, only allowing 19.4 points per game. But the Ravens offensively, Joe, have been good. They've gone over 23.5 in each of the first two games. And last week, Lisi, although we remember the Miami offense and the Dolphins' dramatic comeback, and the Ravens slightly giving away that game in the secondary, up by three touchdowns in the fourth quarter, the Ravens still put up over 470 yards of total offense and 38 points. That Ravens offense, with a healthy Lamar Jackson, which he certainly seems to be here so far, I think they go over 23.5 against the Pats.
Yeah, and I think they win against the Pats. And even like the over 44.5 in that matchup, even though New England has struggled to get points, they ran the football consistently in the second half. I think Lamar Jackson's all over the field with his legs through the air, and they're able to attack that secondary of New England. I think Baltimore wins this ball game convincingly. I'm not sold on New England as an offensive whole this year with Judge and Patricia.
And I don't know exactly what New England is going to score, but it's only a 2.5-point spread, which is kind of intriguing. The game is in Foxborough. Here's another one, Joe. The Falcons and the Seahawks. The Seattle Seahawks are a 1-point favorite at home, but it's -112 on the money line for the Seahawks, -104 for the Falcons. Joe, am I crazy to think Atlanta wins this game outright?
Yes, I love Seattle in this ballgame. Rashad Penny, the rushing attack, take over. I think Atlanta's cooked.
I'm starting to think it's 2014 Oregon, though, and Marcus Mariota's looking good with Arthur Smith out there. I kind of like this Atlanta offense and what Drake London presents as well. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. Thank you for listening to Football Full Circle, live on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Keep it locked right here for the best analysis in the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.